one place. Mat,
mind.
Yachnya, request. Vimukha, having refused. Mune, O great sage. Translation. The great sage Narad continued, when I refused to accept the request, she became very angry at me and cursed me severely. Because I refused her request, she said that I would not be able to stay in one place for a long time. Purport. The great sage Narad Muni has a spiritual body. Therefore, old age, disease, birth, and death do not affect him. Narad is the most kind devotee of the Supreme Lord, and thus his only business is to travel all over the universe and preach God consciousness. In other words, his business is to make everyone a Vaishnava. Under the circumstances, there is ordinarily no need for him to stay in one place, more than the time he requires to preach. Since by his own free will, he is already traveling all over the universe, the curse of Kalakanya is described as fortunate. Like Narad Muni, many other devotees of the Lord are engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord in different places and in different universes. Such personalities are beyond the jurisdiction of material laws. So here we see is an instance where what would generally be considered as materially unfortunate, then for the devotee is not a problem. That we have an idea of material facility, what it should be like, and by that then we will be happy. But it's seen that even though we get what we want, we're not really happy. So in this case with Narad Muni then, because there's no illusion that there's something that's going to please you in the material world, then losing a facility that so-called would give you pleasure is not important. Does that make sense? Now if I have this idea that, let's say, I have an old rusty hammer, and somehow or another by having an old rusty hammer that's very prestigious. So everybody is endeavoring to get an old rusty hammer. Of course, you know, there's also, I mean, of course, there's the connoisseurs who really understand that the hammer that's been sitting out there in the garage, you know, your old grandfather's garage on the farm, you know, for the last 25 years, that's the real rusty hammer. Now, of course, there are those who will take the hammer and paint it with some acid and all that, and then, you know, within a couple of days it becomes rusty, but, you know, I mean, you know, everybody knows the nouveau rusty, you know, they're just not quite, they don't have the character of those who have, you know, the old traditional family handed down rustiness, right? Does this make any sense, or is this really just going over everyone's head here? Okay, so we have this idea. So now for Narad Muni, he's not an illusion. By having a rusty hammer, how is that going to make you happy? But everybody thinks, yes, by having a rusty hammer, I'll be happy. So if he's cursed, no, you cannot have any rusty hammers. Is it going to bother him? No. So that's the position, is that we, naturally, by the modes of nature, we think that certain material facilities are actually going to make us happy. No, they can make life easy or comfortable. But the point is if we're not Krishna conscious, it doesn't matter what your facilities are. If we notice that in the Bhagavatam, most everybody who's mentioned here is either extremely intelligent, has mystic cities, or is very powerful and rich. Right? Or if there are going to be malechas and yavanas, they're really good at it. So whatever it is, all the cases here are very successful material persons. But the point being brought out is that that doesn't make their life successful. We have an idea of what success, but it doesn't necessarily make it successful. Right? Things come and go, what's in fashion, what you have to have, what you have to do. And all these things change. And so what was very important today, tomorrow is not. But if it actually had substance, would it matter? Does that make sense? Would it actually matter? Is it simply just what the people feel is what is, that makes it actually real? That's the illusion. Right? Of course, this is our great, I say, inheritance from the Greeks. That this idea is that what people think in general, that is what is real. It's fact. It will make you happy. So people think, if I have money, if I have position, I have power, I have facility for sense gratification, I have security, then I will be happy. That's what everybody says. Right? The media says it. You know, all the stories say it. All your friends say it. But it doesn't make it real. That's the problem. The illusion is because I think it should be real, and I have a few friends who also say it should be real, then I can tell everyone, everybody says, right? You know, this just for the record, everybody means one other person agrees with me. If two people agree with me, then I can really, you know, take on the world. But that's all it is. We walk out of our house, we think something, we meet a friend in the park, right? And they also, we bring something up, they agree with us. Then when you go to the meeting, then what do you say? Everybody says. But actually, in a meeting, just remember, when anybody says everybody thinks this, everybody, just remember that means that person who's saying it and one of their friends. That's all it is. This is the illusion. Is we somehow or another think that the material arrangements can make us happy. But that's why we give examples. You know, we say, oh yeah, we've heard those. But the fish out of water, it doesn't matter what arrangement you make for the fish will never be happy. It can't be. So we get these various things, but they come, they go, the modes of nature change, things change, what was important today, tomorrow is not. Right? You're thinking, yes, if we have a nice car and this and that, and then you work hard, you get the car, and then the mood changes, and now the big fancy car, then that's not the real thing. Now you have to have one of these hybrid, you know, eco cars. Like that. And then the bigger it is, the more pollution, so the smaller it is. So now here, you're stuck. You've just worked for so long. You get this nice, big, fancy car. And now everybody says, oh, this is not the right thing. Where does your social status go? Right? You have to pay extra money to drive it into town. Does this make sense? This is how the modes work. Whatever you're working for, you may get it momentarily. Some things you get, most things we don't. But it's, when we get them, it's just a matter of time before the modes change, and then there's another vox populi. So for Narad Muni, therefore, the idea that I will sit in one place and I will therefore be secure and happy, it doesn't bother him that he doesn't have that. Right? Because why would the materialist want this? Right? He wants to be able to sit in one place to enjoy himself. Right? You work hard, you got to put your, and you're going to buy things with this, arrange things, and so you have to keep them somewhere. So you don't want to travel because that's your stuff. Right? So that's the reason this would be considered bad. But for Narad Muni, he's already traveling and preaching. It's not that he can't be responsible. It's not that he can't sit down in one place and actually do something, take responsibility for something. He doesn't have that disease. This is he's traveling because he's preaching. Right? So this just makes it then he doesn't have to worry about anybody complaining, oh, you're always traveling, this and that. No, because he actually has been cursed. So for him, it's something he's going to do anyway. Right? Of course, he has his ashram, but it says he can't stay for long, so he might come back to his ashram, see this and that, these, and then he goes again. So, point being is for the devotee, there is no inauspicious situation. The only inauspicious situation is lack of Krishna consciousness. So whether one is like devotees that stay in one place their whole life, never even go out of their village and make themselves, their family, and the community Krishna conscious, or like Narad Muni, they travel all over the world, it doesn't really matter. Whether you have facility or not, we see like Sudama Brahmana, whether he had no facility or whether he had facility, his Krishna consciousness remained the same. Point is whatever situation you have, you use it for Krishna, that's perfect. It's not that the situation is perfection. This is the illusion. This is the trick. Everybody will tell you it's the situation that's perfection. It's not. It's what you do with the situation. Right? And if you do something nice, that's good. You get a nice result. But if you're Krishna conscious, then you get a Krishna conscious result. So therefore, taking your situation and engaging in Krishna's service is the only activity of value. There is no other activity of value. Doesn't matter. Nice facilities, nice position, money, doesn't matter. If you have them, you'll still be upset. You'll still be a problem. Right? Take anything. Powerful people. They have a lot of problems. Right? They have plenty of problems. Right? A lot of powerful people. Right? It didn't work out so good for them. Mussolini didn't work out so good. Tito didn't work out very nice. I mean, there's tons of them. Gaddafi didn't work out so good. Right? You have money. You know? So many people have money. They don't have a life. Right? So power, facilities, they have good looks. Right? You have your celebrities, right? Generally, very rare, at least nowadays, you don't really have an ugly celebrity. Right? Before it went by what you can do, now it goes by what you look like. Right? So that means there's no life. Everywhere you go, there's somebody there with a camera. That's if you're lucky that there's only one. Generally, there's many. So anything you take, for us it sounds good, but those who have it aren't really happy. Right? We check. So, but the fun part is still everyone buys it. That's Maya. So here Narad Muni, he's dedicated to explaining that this is not what makes us happy. And so it's not a matter of, oh, it's all illusion, so therefore don't keep anything, don't give it all up. No, it's a matter of whatever your position, use it for Krishna. That's the only thing of value. Right? Does that make sense? Even you renounce the world, if you haven't renounced the world for Krishna, it's still useless. So the person with everything, the person with nothing, the person's in between, if it's not connected to Krishna, it's useless. That's the bottom line. And if it's connected to Krishna, then anything is useful. Right? Now this takes some maturity. Because the immature position will be, oh, because, you know, it's not, I don't get the material benefit from it, therefore I won't work with it. Or, because you can use anything in Krishna's service, therefore whatever I'm attached to, I will work with that exclusively, but I'll also, you know, make sure everybody knows that I'm working with this and try to establish that my position is very strong based on my material attachment. So both of these elements means we're not actually understanding Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not as what you accept or what you give up. It's did you accept it for Krishna or give it up for Krishna. That's what Krishna consciousness is. Right? Otherwise, the karmi will say, no, we engage everything in Krishna's service. The jnani will say, it's all useless, therefore we deal with nothing. These are the two diseases here. I won't work with it unless I get a benefit. Right? So one's just in the positive, one's in the negative. But Krishna consciousness means whatever your situation, if it's favorable, you use it for Krishna. If it's not favorable, you give it up for Krishna. So having things or renouncing things on their own actually have no basis, no meaning. You know, it's what goes on here. You know, it's what everybody does. But it doesn't have any factual value unless it's connected to Krishna. That's all. So it's not a matter of if you have stuff or don't have stuff, it's whether you have or don't have for Krishna. That's all. So that's why Narad Muni is not disturbed by this curse, because he's traveling for Krishna. So therefore, if now he can't sit down in one place, that's fine, because he'll use that for Krishna. He can't sit in one place, so therefore he'll travel for Krishna. So there's no inauspicious situation for a devotee. Right? We don't consider it inauspicious that the Pandavas are in the forest. Right? It's just part of the story. So whether they have an empire, they use it for Krishna. Right? And whether they're in the forest, they use it for Krishna. You think about it. When they're in the palace, what do you hear about in the story? Them being rich and enjoying themselves? No, you just hear about their Krishna conscious interaction. Or in their forest, they'll hear that they're suffering and so much anxiety. And no, you just hear about them being Krishna conscious. So that's the point. It doesn't matter what your position, if it's accepted, if it's appreciated, then one will be happy, one will be satisfied. Because Krishna consciousness is just a matter of being Krishna conscious. It has nothing to do with the situation. Does that make sense? It's what you do with the situation, that's Krishna consciousness. How you observe the situation. It's not a situation. It's not, if I have money, then we can be Krishna conscious. Or if we don't have money, we can be Krishna conscious. No, it's whether you have or don't have, are you Krishna conscious? Right? If I have facilities, I have a house, or I have other family or friends, it's a matter of, is it for Krishna? That will make you happy. It's not for Krishna, you won't be happy. You can't. Right? That's why the example of the fish out of water. The fish doesn't matter how nice, right? Take the fish, we'll make a nice bed out of, you know, 1,000-count sheets, or that's regular days. Special days we use silk ones or something. You know, buy him lots of cashmere. You know, get him good stuff. You know, like that. You know, take them down to Rodeo Drive. You know, knock yourself out. Right? But he still won't be happy. He can't be. Get him a nice life insurance policy, like that. You know, like that. Put away a lot of money in the bank for him, like that. Maybe he can run for president, like that. You understand? It won't work. He won't be happy. Because it's not possible to be happy in the material world. You can be comfortable, and Prabhupada defines comfortable by being not uncomfortable. Right? In other words, you like money, so you're comfortable if you have money. Because if you don't have money, you're uncomfortable. You understand? It's not that having the money is actually a positive, it just removes the negative. Does that make sense? We think material world has positives. No, it doesn't. You can bring it to neutral. That's as good as it gets. Material world is negative. Spiritual means you bring it to neutral. Krishna consciousness, that brings it to the positive. Does that make sense? You're hungry, you get food, it brings it to the neutral. You're tired, you sleep, it brings it to the neutral. Does that make sense? That's what it's doing. We're looking at it. No, I'm getting rid of the pain of hunger. That's enjoyment. I mean, everybody says that, so it's, you know, well accepted. But it's not. You're only getting rid of pain. Because as soon as the pain is gone, you have no interest in eating. Right? So in other words, all the facilities you want are simply to remove the difficulties. That's all. So if that's understood, that's as good as it gets here. Then that's the only reason. You're comfortable with a nice house? Get a nice house, but don't be under the illusion that the nice house will make you happy. No, the nice house will simply get rid of your feeling of being uncomfortable by not having a nice house. right? And so if you're not distracted by thinking, I wish I had a nice house, now you can think about Krishna. Does this make sense? That's all it is. You like nice clothes, wear them. Why? Because then you won't be in anxiety about nice clothes. But the point is now be Krishna conscious. You have the nice clothes, now be Krishna conscious. It's not, I have the nice clothes, therefore now that's perfection. No. Or I'm worried about money. No, you get the money. Have the money. But now that you have the money, be Krishna conscious. You understand? Krishna conscious is something different. We tend to slide back into our own conditioning that whatever was socially acceptable by us on the material platform, that's what we endeavor for. And we think that that actually is good or perfection. No, all it is that's the situation you're comfortable in. Right? Does that make sense? Let us say, take for example, okay, we have a bird, okay? And now, let us say this bird can be, you know, engaged in Krishna consciousness. Okay? Now, when will the bird be engaged in Krishna consciousness dynamically? In the day or the night? Right? In the daytime, right? They sleep at night. Okay, now let's say we have, you know, he's done lots of nice preaching, so now a bat becomes Krishna conscious. When will he be Krishna conscious? At night. You understand? The fish is comfortable in water. The bird in a tree, right? The snake in a hole somewhere. Does that make sense? So everything has its place where it's comfortable. But in that place, that's where it does its activities. So we're trying to arrange a comfortable place for us. But if we're not being Krishna conscious, utilizing that place, what's the use? Right? We take it as a big accomplishment. Right? The rat goes out and in 10 minutes digs a hole. It's got a house. You know, we worked for our whole life to pay off the mortgage. The rat made a house in 10 minutes, right? You know, it's that simple. So the point is all what you're looking for in the way of facilities, positions, is all, if you're comfortable in that, great. One needs a position, great, have it, but be Krishna conscious. It's not that the position makes you Krishna conscious. It's not by having that you can be more Krishna conscious. No, all it is for your conditioning, you're comfortable there. So that's the natural environment, right? That's what the Vedic system is for, is to find everybody's natural position. Of course, you know, by the blessings and grace of our modern enlightened so-called intellectuals, then we're trying to say is, no, you know, the bird and the cat are equal, you know, the fish, the dog, the parakeet. So therefore they should all live in the same environment, eat the same food, dress in the same way. You know what I'm saying? The parakeet's yellow, you know, his friend is green, so let's paint the dog green, like that, you know. Then they can be all the same, right? You know, so now it's a question of, well, we could, you know, does the dog eat the bird food, or does the bird eat the dog food? Or we can be very liberal and give them each both. You understand? The Vedic system simply defines what is your nature, therefore where you'll be comfortable. And because everybody's an individual, now your comfortable position shouldn't get in the way of someone else's comfortable position. A very, very broad and very advanced social system that's way beyond, you know, the common mentality. You understand? If you can't understand Varnashram, understand it's because you have a common mentality. You know, don't want to be too blunt, but that's why Varnashram's not appreciated. We're coming from a common mentality. Common means ordinary. Means what is my little world, that's all I can handle. Varnashram means you have to be able to understand what is your world and accommodate everybody else's world. And that's not by making them like you. The modern system make everybody the same. Go to any country, they all eat at McDonald's. They all wear jeans. They all have an iPhone. They all do the same thing. They all use the same slangs. So now we're calling this the global world. Yes, it's all, you know, everyone. No, all it is we're just making everybody the same, because I cannot tolerate someone being different. The Vedic system is, yes, if I'm an individual, that means everybody else is one. So how can I accommodate their different mentality? Right? Shudra's into art. He wants to express himself. The Brahmin's into knowledge. It's not about expressing himself. Those are two very different people. Have you ever tried to put these two in the same room together? Right? Does that make sense? Take a nuclear physicist and a cellist, put them together. It's not going to work. Vedic system, you know how to interact because you know what the other person's interested in. It's even said that when you greet someone, it's so specific that according to their nature, you greet them by what is important to them. Whether it's good health, or is your position okay, or how's the family. Nowadays, you're supposed to say some pleasantries, but they're general. In the Vedic system, they're very specific for the person. They want to know about it. If you ask about their health, for one person, that's good. Another person, he doesn't care if he asks about his health. So the Vedic system knows this. It offers this. So what is the point? The point is it's just simply to make everybody comfortable. So that in that situation, they can, therefore, spend their time being Krishna conscious, rather than wasting their time simply worried about their facilities, because that's all that's going on nowadays. Think about it. That's all that goes on. Individual lives, committee meetings, management, you know, social things. All we worry about is, am I going to be comfortable? We're not actually worried about what we're going to do with that. No, I have the position. That's all that's important. It's not what I do with it. Does this make sense? So we've been tricked by Maya to think the facility is going to make everything okay. No, the facility is just your environment in which you work in. So this overemphasis on the facility means everybody's working for facility, but at the same time as no one appreciates that anybody has it. Right? And it doesn't mean that anybody comes any closer. This makes sense. Okay, so the basic line is not what we have, what we're endeavoring for, or what we on the material platform feel comfortable with. The point is whatever it is, if we're Krishna conscious, then it will be perfect. And if we're not Krishna conscious, it doesn't matter how good it is, how many people say it's going to be good, it doesn't matter. It's still never going to be good. Material can never be good. Material engaged in the Lord's service, that's always perfect. But material, no matter how nice it is, not engaged in the Lord's service, it's always useless. Always has been. That's why these stories go back. It's not just now. It goes back to Dwapara Yuga. Then there's stories in Treta Yuga. Then there's stories in Satya Yuga. And then it's not just this cycle. We go back cycles. Some of the stories start on the first day of Brahma. Right? And this is 150 trillion years later. So everything in between is showed. It doesn't matter where it is, at what time, what universe, and even Narad Muni takes his story at the beginning of Bhagavatam to the previous universe. Exactly the same stuff. So it doesn't matter the time, the place, the circumstance. If it's not Krishna conscious, it's useless. And if it is Krishna conscious, it doesn't actually matter what the situation is. That's why we have the poor Brahmin, he's Krishna conscious. The emperor of the world, he's Krishna conscious. The hunter, he becomes Krishna conscious. You understand? The men are Krishna conscious. The women are Krishna conscious. The children are Krishna conscious. Even the animals are Krishna conscious. So it doesn't matter. The only common thread is that they're Krishna conscious. But the material situations that they're in are so varied. They're well beyond, generally, the social environment that we're comfortable to work with. right? It's so extreme. From someone who doesn't have anything to eat for the next day to someone who's the emperor of the world. We've never dealt with these situations. But that's the range that the Bhagavatam's dealing with. The broadest, there is no one that's dealing that broadly. Sadly to say, then our academics will label it that it's very narrow. One has to remember, if you're viewing the world through a keyhole, you don't see a whole lot. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Narada Muni mentioned that I don't know who was cursing him, but that lady, she was very angry, and then she cursed him with a very, very severe curse. Okay, the question comes up now that Narada Muni basically doesn't really get bothered by this kind of stuff because he's pure devotee and he's anyway would travel all the time to go different places. So why does he mention that actually, why does he give credit to the lady that her curse was very severe?
Because it means you're dealing with Paranjana here, because what's being brought out before by him is that old age attacks those who are attached to sense gratification. Right? So he, being a Naistika Brahmachari, where there's no attachment to facilities of the world or enjoyment of the world, therefore he can't be disturbed. You know what I'm saying? As I said, if you want sense gratification, you have to have a facility. You could say, no, but I always travel. No, but you always travel within your own circle, your own little thing. So if that's removed, you're in anxiety. You know, it means when you fly to Paris and you stay in that fancy hotel, and that hotel happens to be closed or booked, you're in anxiety. Because then you have to stay in a different one. You don't know what it is. It's an unknown. There's insecurity. You know what I'm saying? So even the materialist, he's very attached to his very specific situation. So, the point being that we're bringing out here is that it doesn't really matter that. The point is not that. The point is that we shouldn't be attached to the situation that we're comfortable in. You understand? It means the fish is comfortable in water, so it does its activities there. And then it's Krishna conscious in those activities. But its focus is not on the water. The fish is not thinking all day that I want to be in water and I love this water. No, it just does what it does. You understand? That's the idea within the Vedic system why it's recommending pious activities. It's because pious activities generate facility. If you have the facility, you'll relax. And if you relax, you can focus on Krishna consciousness. You understand? But this is the slow path. Right, the direct is that you be Krishna conscious, and then all those other things will fall into place. But if you don't accept the mechanics of it, then you get stuck in between. You don't have the patience for the one, but you don't have the piety for the other. You understand? In other words, the non-Vedic mentality actually doesn't have the piety to be happy in happy with facility. You understand? Means they have, but they always lose, and this and that. You get to see the Vedic ones; it doesn't move like that. It's a general thing. People have money, and it goes on like that. You have the cases where you can lose it, but it's not like the modern situation. So, the persons in the modern modern situation have facility. They simply got it from following the Vedic in previous lives, and this is just the results, the residue of that. So, the point is where you're comfortable. You make your endeavor for what you want. But the only value of it is that you're comfortable, so therefore now you can take your mind off the material and focus on the spiritual. Does that make sense? But the Vedic is pointing out that don't perform activities to get what you want in an inauspicious way. Because then instead of getting, you got what you want, but it won't last. Does that make sense? It'll create a problem for you. Right? So if you go, and but at the same time, is the pious way of getting it, is more trouble. Why is the Vedic more trouble than the modern? Modern is very direct. You want to take it. Why is the Vedic more trouble? Because you're considering everybody else in the equation, while the modern doesn't consider anybody else except number one. That's all. When the manager says, we're just being pragmatic, means I only want to consider myself. I don't want to consider everybody else. You understand? It's that simple. Because the Vedic, there's no question of not considering everybody. Now, but it's only considering everybody on what is their right. If someone wants something outside their rights, you don't have to consider that. Does that make sense? So that's where also the modern goes, is that I can desire things outside of my rights and have the right to do that. No, you don't. Because the point is your rights are the other's half of your obligations. So if you have no obligation, you have no right. You have no responsibility, you do not have authority. You know what I'm saying? You do not make the endeavor, you do not have facility. Right? I take the responsibility to cook lunch, therefore I have the right to eat it. You understand? But if I don't cook, how will my rights be manifest? Does that make sense? So, for Narad Muni then, because he's not attached to the material, right, he is a brahmachari, therefore the brahmachari is situated, he doesn't have a place to stay. Maybe he stays in some place, but it's not his place. So he's not actually staying anywhere. Right? To stay somewhere means this is mine and I'm staying here. This is my house, I'm staying here. Right? But a brahmachari can live in the ashram his whole life, but it's not his. There's no sense of possession. So if there's no sense of possession, therefore there's no anxiety about the facility. So her curse actually is just a curse of, that is naturally his duty as a brahmachari. Now it includes that, now as a brahmachari who's preaching, therefore he's moving anyway. So it just facilitates. The point is whatever the material situation, it facilitates Krishna consciousness, if you use it that way. If you don't use it that way, then it doesn't facilitate. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in other words, the other side of the coin is, because this is the upside, the downside is if you attempt to sense gratification, then old age will take its toll. You're not? It doesn't bother you. Right? Doesn't bother means you're Krishna conscious. Like Prabhupada, I couldn't basically move, right? But fully Krishna conscious. So therefore, old age isn't having an effect. The problem is when you identify with it, when you lose it, you're in anxiety. Like, you know, the stories of, you know, the person in the bed and all the whole family's around and goes through what everybody's thinking, you know? That anxiety, that's what we're talking about of old age. Is that okay?
If I understand correctly, that because we are conditioned, we require a comfortable situation to perform nicely Krishna consciousness?
Basically. That's our reasoning.
For example, if somebody is not able to acquire this comfortable situation through all his life, he's trying, but it's not possible. And his mind is because of that.
Yeah, but the point is you can't, even if you get it, you won't be happy. So if he's not getting it, just means his karma's not there to get it. So therefore, the only reason for having it is so you can be Krishna conscious. So even if you can't have it, you can still be Krishna conscious. You understand? We have to actually seriously analyze our need for certain facilities and are rationalizing the importance of them in our life. The only value is that if by having it, then you'll stop thinking, obsessing about it, then You know, he's saying the brahmachari, he's obsessing about women. So if he gets married, he has a wife. Right? So he's in that association. So now he can think of other things. You understand? Now he can do something useful. But if he's not worrying about it, then what's the problem? If he's comfortable as a brahmachari, why get married? But if he's not comfortable as a brahmachari, then he should get married. You know what I'm saying? The point is you're comfortable. Now you can do. Right? You don't eat, you can't do anything. So you eat and do something. You understand? The point is not attachment to eating or attachment to fasting. It's attachment to doing service for Krishna. It's a different paradigm. That's why Krishna consciousness is so unique. It's totally different than anything we've done here since time immemorial. We've either been engaged in karma or in jnana. But bhakti means there is no problem between the two. They're not opposed to each other. You're taking what is useful from karma and useful from jnana. The activities of karma, the knowledge of jnana, that's useful. The knowledge of karma, the activities of jnana, that's not useful. Because there is no knowledge in karma and there is no activity in jnana. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that the Vedic is just taking exactly what you require. And then it works. You know? It's just about the thing. You're cooking. You need some salt. You put the salt. It's not that you obsess about salt all the time. Salt's required. You only put how much is required. You don't put more. You don't put less. And having put it, now you move on to what's next. But we'll get, you know, salt's important, so therefore we talk about salt all day and talk, you know, others about what their opinion of salt, write articles on salt. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's what we tend to do. That's a material platform. So the point is if it's useful, use it. If it's not useful, why would you use it? Krishna consciousness is very straightforward. But it accommodates whatever it is, our conditioning. Does that make sense? In the spiritual world, they also have this. Mother Jashoda is happy in her house. Why would she be happy in her house? Krishna's there, okay. But, okay, so he's there, so they just have one nice, you know, American-style house, you know, where you have the living room, and all the other rooms come off of that room, and done, right? Her house has 100 rooms in it. Hallways, all kinds of things, not at all modern. Why? Why would you want a 100-room house? She's the queen, she's got to be able to have a bigger house than everyone else, or... She gets bored in one room, so she can sit in the next room. Yes. The point is each room has a purpose. That means there's 100 ways to serve Krishna within the parental ras connected to the house. That's why she likes being in the house. Now, why do the cowherd boys like being in the forest? Because that's where they can serve Krishna, run and frolic. You can't do that in the house. You break things. You get in trouble. You can do that out there, right? Cows also, they like being out, you know, out in the field. Why? Because, you know, they can do their service for Krishna there. You understand? They go and think about it. Do young girls like going out at night in the dark, you know, and walking around in a forest? No. But that's where they can serve Krishna. So they're happy to go. You understand? Mother Yashoda is happy in the house. The cowherd boys, they have their house, they're happy there, they're happy out in the field. Right? The servants are happy where they are. Right? But the gopis, you know, they're girls. They like to be in houses. They like to have houses, have family, and that, but they choose something else to serve Krishna. So you can see it's about serving Krishna. So they have a situation. So that kind of thing is reflected here, that according to your conditioning, you simply take that situation you're in and use it for Krishna. It's the same thing. That's what they do in the spiritual world. right? Mother Yashoda has an elder gopi body. She uses that for Krishna service. Right? She doesn't think, well, you know, hey, the cowherd boys get to run around all day, why can't I run around? I'm not that old. You know, why do you think I'm old? Why are you discriminating that I'm old? She doesn't do those kind of stupid trips. She wants to serve that. So here, it's not that we plan this. We're coming to Krishna consciousness not at all by our own credit. It's because the grace of Krishna and Guru and the Vaishnavas that we came in contact with Krishna consciousness. And it happened to be now, in this life, in this particular conditioning. Therefore, we simply, like the residents of the spiritual world, take that position we're in and engage in Krishna service. That's all. Mother Yashoda keeps the house nice, so we have a house here, we keep it nice. You understand? It's the same mentality. The only difference is there because of their natural devotion. They have the forms and facilities to match that. Here it's the other way around. We're starting with those forms and facilities and from that trying to develop the mentality. It's reversed, it's backwards, right? That's what reflection means. It's backwards. So the facilities only have as much value as they're of useful in Krishna's service. If it's useful, great. If it's not useful, why have it? Does that make sense? That's the point, is that take your facilities, use them for Krishna. Right? And stop obsessing about how important the facilities are. If they're important, great, then use them for Krishna. If they're not important, why waste your time? It accommodates, it engages. But it's so broad, we've never seen anything that broad. We can, you know, it's like we're used to, you know, a very narrow situation. So we can't accommodate beyond that. So therefore, just use what you have. Yes.
Can you elaborate a little more about the combination of jnana and
karma?
Karma.
Yeah, that's
bhakti is the combination of those two.
No, it means bhakti inherently means karma means activities, jnana means knowledge, jnana means absorption, meditation. So the devotees are absorbed in thinking of Krishna and use their understanding how to engage in service for Krishna. Does that make sense? So those three aspects of the natural devotional path in the material world by conditioning become separated. So you have those that only act or only have knowledge or only meditate. So they become separated paths, but they're not complete in themselves, but they're filled out to make it appear that they're complete. But in reality, they're not complete. So they're only components of actual devotional service. So the analyzation of devotional service is so that we can see what is actually useful from karma, jnana, and jnana, and use that for Krishna. Otherwise, there's elements of karma, that, like the fruit of element, is not so important. But that you're getting a result, that's important. Karma means you perform an activity, it gets a result. The results for me, that's a problem. The results for Krishna, that's good. So then devotees, when they get jnana, then they think, they act on the path of jnana, then they think, okay, since the result's not for me, why should I make the endeavor? Right? If the family's all Maya, why should I put in the time and effort to, you know, make everybody happy? That's jnana. So I'm not going to get something out of it, so why should I be involved? But the point is, no, you're not supposed to be involved for yourself, you're supposed to be involved for Krishna. Ever notice how they leave exactly on time but come 10 minutes late? I'm always impressed. So what Gita is doing when it's describing Buddha Yoga, it's taking each of the aspects of the yoga system, of the yoga ladder, and analyzing each one on its own so you can identify it. And once you've identified it, then it's used together as a group. Right? Just like, let's say, you get into the car, they identify which is the driver's seat, where the pedals are, where the steering wheel is, you know, all the different things like that. But you don't work like that. It all works together as one thing. You're steering, you're pushing the pedals, trying to ignore the person in the back seat. You know, all these different things you're doing at one time. Does that make sense? So, Buddhi Yoga means that what is actually the important element of karma, the actual important element of jnana, the actual important element of jnana, that you're doing all together at one time. And depending upon one's situation or conditioning, there may be a predominance of one or the other. Right? So in the beginning of devotional service, the karma element is going to be the maximum. Then with time, jnana comes in, so now you have more understanding of why you're performing the activities. And then with more time, then you're more and more thinking of Krishna, absorbed in Krishna, while you're performing your activities with proper understanding. So it's just it's a natural progression. That's why I said a yoga ladder. But they all work at once, right? We sometimes take it that yoga ladder means it's separate. No, it's one thing. A ladder is one entity. It's just in your progressive, you happen to be focusing more on one than the other. So in the beginning, you step on the first rung, it's going to be karma. Next rung is going to be jnana. Next rung is going to be jnana. Does that make sense? So, this will end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Chaitanya Govinda Premanandi.